As the fall season moves forward and the trees start to turn their leaves shades of gold, it's not too late to spend some quality time in nature with all your queer pals.
Today, Valerie Dolls and Manny Petty treat us to a live music session of songs from their gay campground tour. Listen as Valerie talks about her work with the Chicago League of Lady Arm Wrestlers and reading books to children while in drag.
Plus, Mattel announces their first gender-neutral dolls.
Hillary Clinton says she's in favor of impeachment.
And Destiny's Child, Michelle Williams, wants you to know that she's not the Michelle Williams who delivered a fiery speech at the Emmys. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you. Access thousands of legendary podcasts with some of your favorite queer entertainers and artists at feastoffun.com/plus.
Visit our store at feastoffun.com/store and get yourself a Not Shaven Gives Me More Time for Misbehaving t-shirt today. And join our world of fun at patreon.com/feastoffun and get behind-the-scenes exclusive content.
It's a live music session on today's Feast of Fun. Joining us is Manny Petty. You're soaking in it.
I love it. Yes, and when you listen to my music, your nails will look fabulous.
And also the cross-dressing beauty from the woods of Illinois, Valerie Dolls.
I prefer the baritone bombshell. You like that?
I like that.
It's an alliteration.
Valerie, this is the first time you've come on to Feast of Fun.
Oh yeah.
And you're inspired. Your name comes from the film Valley of the Dolls.
Well, from the book Valley
the
of the
book.
Dolls. Yes.
What's the difference?
Well, there's a huge difference. The book takes place in the 40s, and the movie takes place in the 60s. And
I had no idea that the book was in the 40s.
That's why the book is so shocking. It's abortions and pills, but it's the 40s. It's those.
But it was written in the 60s, though, wasn't it?
It was written in the 60s.
Okay.
And the author Jacqueline Suzanne hated the movie. Because
the authors of these campy films hate the movies that they're based on their books?
Because
Mommy Dearest destroyed my beautiful book. Why?
Christina Crawford loved the movie.
I heard that she didn't. No, initially she hated it. Yeah. She felt it was a distortion of the truth.
Oh, well, it's wonderful.
And then she, you know, became a star because of the film, because then she grew to embrace it.
Mm. Didn't that movie ruin Faye Dunaway's career, basically? Yeah,
Faye Dunaway ruined Faye Dunaway's career.
Talk to Betty Davis about that. There's some good stories.
She had a lot of downfalls. But Valerie, so you're a fan of the book, but you hate the movie, because you saw the movie recently, actually, in the cinema.
At the Music Box.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie, but it's a terrible movie.
Mm.
So it's a terrible movie that I love.
I love the fashion montage. Other than that, and of course, the wig and the toilet's wonderful.
And Sharon Tate.
Yes.
Aww. Sorry. Hold on a second. Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. You don't like that line.
No, I love it. It's a terrible movie that I love.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Jacqueline Suzanne said the appeal of her book was that, you know, the everyday person, you know, the housewife, the worker could read the book and see, like, these problems of the rich and famous and then relate to it and think, hey, my life's not so bad after all.
It's
a working class panacea. It's a cure-all for the struggle of everyday life, to see somebody who's wealthy and powerful and famous struggling in the same way that you are.
And in some
ways it is comforting, but in other ways it reinforces the status quo. It's like, see rich people, and you know what? Rich people have it pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's also kind of, I think, the appeal of when you see something like the Real Housewives franchise is like, oh, look, these women have all the money in the world, but they still have problems, but you know.
And, well, you know, one of their problems isn't paying their bills.
And Valley of the Dolls has a lot of lesbian sex, which was...
In the movie.
No, there's the none book. In the movie.
Oh, I
there's
see.
There's none the in
book,
the movie.
The book, Sharon Tate's character has a lesbian lover, and it's very shocked because... No
all
one talked about that stuff back
dark.
Then. Yeah, she says that in the movie. Not all cats are gray.
So they cut out all the scissoring.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's a Manny Petty joke.
There you go. It's so nice that you guys have found each other and become this duet. Yeah. And you guys perform all over these clubs and venues. But you're well known for your performances in the gay campgrounds. And
yeah, we are.
Yes, we're doing our gay campground tour. It's our Mystery Machine tour, also known as the Grateful Head tour. So if you follow us, you are a headhead, right? Is that what they're calling you? You
could be a head of the curve.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of curves. Valerie.
Yes, I do.
Ooh, you're just like Lady Bunny. You wear a flowing gowns and you don't tuck.
No tucking. Thank you, Muffy Fishbasket. She makes fun of me for not tucking.
What does Muffy have to do? Why are you bringing her up? Why are you rubbing in?
Why is she tucking? Why is she so interested in your dick? What's going on there? Because
she tucks and I don't.
I have a Mr. Rogers doll. Point on the doll where Muffy's hurt you.
Everywhere.
Mostly my eyes.
Oh.
Mostly my eyes.
So Muffy, for people who don't know, she is a drag queen from Camp Wanakiki and soon to be on Cooking with Drag Queens.
Yes.
And she organizes shows in the gay campgrounds in Illinois.
We just went to Camp It together. We did a show together at Camp It where she reigns as queen.
That's in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Saugatuck.
Near Saugatuck, Michigan.
Yeah. Okay. And so at Soggy Tucks, you guys like take all your clothes off and have a hootenanny.
Pretty much.
With a fire, and you say, "Hail Satan."
Actually,
you know what was really funny? Now that I've been to all these gay campgrounds, Camp It was the least naked I've ever seen.
Oh, it's
seen.
Super conservative.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, where we was also co-ed though. So
yeah, you know. But still,
I don't care if I see some titties flopping around.
Yeah. But if you want to be naked, you have to be in a certain area. You have to be
in a certain area. Yeah. Whereas the other ones, you can kind of be nudie patootie wherever you want to go.
Great. I got tanned on my buns. And
oh yeah.
It was lovely.
Mm. So you were showing the cheeks.
Yeah, I was.
How nice is that?
I would rather be fully nude than run around in swimming trunks.
Well, that's good.
You guys, you saw me at the Naked Bike Ride.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, you all did. Of you.
I got so violently sick. Aww. Not because of seeing people naked at the violent. That probably contributed to it. But just being my raw body exposed to fall weather in Chicago, it's tough. Because then all of a sudden you get this cold wind and you're just like, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough. I was really, really sick after
some years it's so hot that you wish you could take your skin off.
Yeah.
But other years, it's like 55 degrees.
So you're a nature lover.
Yeah.
And you love your body.
Yeah, I do.
How nice is that?
It's very liberating, though, to be naked at these campgrounds. We've done Buckwood, Camp Buckwood near Indianapolis, Freedom Valley in Ohio. And then next week, we're heading to Whispering Oaks near Nashville. And we're also playing in Nashville. But it is nice being naked. We don't perform naked, but you can just kind of hang out at the pool.
Well, you have like a moo-moo. Is technically
they wear outfits for the performance.
Yeah, we have our little outfits.
Otherwise,
and so you guys brought your instruments today. Manny, you brought your guitar, and Valerie, you brought your dick.
My golden throat.
And you're gonna play with it.
Mm.
Do you guys have some music for us? What do you want to start off with?
Yeah. We're gonna start with a tune by Tom Waits called "Chocolate Jesus."
Mm.
I've been singing it for a long time.
It's about getting nailed.
That took me a second. It's about my love for sweets.
Let's hear it.
Well, I don't go to church on Sunday. I don't get down on my knees to pray. I don't memorize the books of the Bible. I got my own special way. I know that Jesus loves me, maybe just a little bit more. When I fall down on my knees every Sunday at Zerelda Lee's candy store, well, it's got to be a chocolate Jesus.
Jesus
makes me feel so good inside. It's got to be a chocolate Jesus. Jesus. Yes, you know it keeps me satisfied. Well, I don't want no Abba Zabba. I don't want no Almond Joy. That's a candy bar, you pervert. There ain't nothing better that's suitable for this boy. Well, it's the only thing that can pick me up. You know it's better than a cup of gold, 'cause only this, a chocolate Jesus, it can satisfy my soul. Take me to church, Manny. Well, when the weather gets rough and it's whiskey in the shade, it's best to wrap your savior up in cellophane. He flows like the big money, but that's okay. Just pour him over ice cream for a nice parfait. Well, it's got to be a chocolate Jesus. It's good enough for me. It's got to be a chocolate Jesus. Yes, you know it's good enough for me. Well, it's got to be a chocolate Jesus. Yes, you know it makes me feel so good inside. It's got to be a chocolate Jesus. Yes, you know it keeps me. I mean, it keeps me. Oh, yes, he keeps me. He keeps me satisfied.
Yes, chocolate Jesus. Get on your knees, baby.
Now for Easter, did you guys get like chocolate Jesuses in your Easter basket?
We sang it at Vaudzilla Burlesque 1 year for Easter, and I came out in this like seafoam green fantasy caftan, and I had an Easter bunny head like from the costume, and it was full of chocolates, and I threw them in the audience as I sang Chocolate Jesus. It was a hoot.
Isn't that like you're bribing the audience to liking you?
It's fine by me, as long as it works.
Does the chocolate Jesuses and stuff, like the chocolate crucifixes, like at Christmas, or I'm sorry, Easter, were always the weirdest candies to eat, you know? Like the rabbit you can understand, little chicks and stuff like that, but when you get like Jesus on a cross in chocolate, is weird.
We were Baptists, so our chocolate crosses were plain. There was no Jesus on them. Yeah, because the Baptist church is he's risen.
Valerie, where did you originally come from?
I grew up in Kansas City, but my family's all from Tennessee. I was born in Tennessee, north of Memphis, about an hour. Dyersburg, Tennessee.
And that's why like Chocolate Jesus sounds kind of like a gospel song.
Yeah, totally.
You have the church in you.
I do. My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher.
Oh, shit.
But he's the only Southern Baptist preacher that doesn't creep me out. He's wonderful. I love my dad. He's great. I've told him, I'm like, if they were all like you, I might still be in church. But unfortunately, he's the exception to the rule.
Because most Southern Baptist preachers kind of resemble the Poltergeist 2 guy.
Yeah.
You're all gonna die! What's the matter, little girl? Are you lost? You want me to sing with you? God is in his holy temple. Do you actually know to sing that song?
No. I don't know if that was Southern Baptist or not.
Yeah, it totally is.
The reason why he's so creepy, though, too, is because he was dying of cancer during the taping.
Really?
He died like right after they filmed that.
Ooh. Or so they believe.
Yeah, that movie was cursed.
Yeah, a lot of people from the Poltergeist series like died mysterious ways.
Well, then the Twilight Zone movie was where the helicopter cut their heads off.
Yeah,
got
decapitated,
And then Dominique Dunn from the first one.
And then the little girl died of some kind of weird disease.
They should have filmed they moved the tombstones. They moved the set, but they filmed the movie on top of the Indian burial ground. I don't know how that works. Work on that one.
Okay.
So I'm excited that you guys are here in today's podcast. I'm a big fan of the League of Lady Arm Wrestlers.
Yes.
Chicago League of Lady Arm Claw,
which is if you guys have been watching Glow on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
It's very similar. It's the modern take on the same idea of a feminist and a raunchy, outrageous take at wrestling, but everybody can participate because most people can arm wrestle, right?
And it's a very interactive show. Yeah. The audience gets involved. You kind of rile people up. All of the arm wrestlers have like managers too, and they get involved. They have bits. It's great. They interview them after each time, and they kind of rile them up. It's great.
And in North Carolina, my sister is one of the best known arm wrestlers and one of the most fearsome ones, Talia. Talia Fernos. Yeah, she goes. She looks like Elphaba from Wicked, and green. And
she paints herself green as the Wicked Witch.
Nice.
Yeah, and she defeats them all.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's. Yeah. We're partnered with Sideshow Theater Company, and then we also pick a nonprofit to work with. Most recently, it was Chicago Women's Health Center, and currently we're working with Girls Rock Chicago.
Okay,
it's usually a female-identified nonprofit or something that is involved with teaching. Girl Forward Chicago was another one.
And what is your gender identity? Because I noticed that you're... you know, wearing a lot of makeup and
it's just pumps left over.
And heels. And this is your everyday look, or is this
something? Yeah. No, I identify as male. I feel comfortable identifying as male.
But you also said you identify as a sissy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel very old-fashioned. My granddaddy on my mother's side, this big, beefy Southern person, he was the first person to call me out. He's like, "You're just a big sissy."
How old were you?
I was 10 years old. Aww. And I ran sobbing into the other room and threw myself face down on a four-poster bed and cried.
And he said, "Marsha, Marsha, Marsha."
But he was right. I mean, at least he said it. So I've always identified as being like the sissy, which I don't even know if that's correct anymore. But I figure if I own it, it's okay.
I mean, yeah, I know people sissy walks.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's sissy, okay. That walk.
Sissy that walk.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't think I'm trans. It's about that
femininity is inherent to your behavior and sense of style. But for me, like, I was always called a sissy in my youth, and now I'm considered butch, and I'm the same person. It's just the world has changed.
Yeah.
And part of it is, like, it's so arbitrary and subjective. You know, in one culture, being a sissy is very, you know, certain behaviors considered feminine, and in other cultures, it's not. So the same person who grew up in, you know, Norway would be seen as a sissy in, you know, Colombia.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, you know. And so for you, it's like, I think, you know, the drag and being involved in a lot of feminist organizations is a way to sort of nurture that side of you, isn't it?
I definitely see the power in femininity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I identify with that strength. All those old movie queens, you know?
Yeah. Like Gloria Swanson, you mean? Or
Gloria Swanson, Blanche DuBois, even though I don't know if people see her as strong, but...
poor Blanche.
Yeah.
Death is so very
Joan
hard.
Joan Crawford, Betty Davis.
Betty Davis, sort of, yes.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
All About Eve.
But you are in the chair, Blanche, you are.
Well, when you were a young little sissy boy, what kind of dolls did you play with?
Rainbow Bright. I loved Rainbow Bright. That was...
Ooh. Do you remember the story in the cartoon behind why Rainbow Bright was Rainbow Bright?
The villain was stealing the colors.
Yes.
And so she and her little
sprites... The colors of the world.
Yeah, the colors of the world. And she and the sprites would fly around on that horse and scatter color, I think. I still have my
Rainbow
LP.
Sprinkles.
Yeah.
Star Sprinkles, as they call them.
I still have my Rainbow Bright LP, and it has a song called Rainbow Land, which was probably my first Torch song. all about your something Rainbow Land in Rainbow Land. The skies are always blue. Something like that. I don't know.
Now, Maddie, you grew up Italian. So what did you play with, like Pinocchio?
No, I.
What was your doll like?
I mean, I was kind of like a boy's boy. I had like He-Man, which, you know, I had a crush on, but I also had Thundercats. My favorite was Day and Night Ken. And what I loved about him is he had the underwear on, you know, like the it was built into his skin. Like his skin looked like underwear, but I would try to chisel it off. I wanted to know what was on underneath.
I'm getting to that dick. I love G.I. Joe. My mother gave me one for Valentine's Day. I remember I was like, oh, this is so sweet. I think they were on sale after Christmas or something like that. And oh my God, my sisters had Barbies, so I'd play with all of them. And that poor Barbie, she just got so used up by that G.I. Joe. And now we
had a girl.
And now Mattel has come out with these gender neutral dolls, a whole selection of them. And they can be a boy boy, a girl, neither or both.
Ooh.
And they're just completely gender fluid, and you can have a bunch of different clothes that you can try on, different hair you can put on with them. It's like it's a whole new world.
Now, are these gender neutral dolls being called Barbies, or do they have a... I think they have a different name.
They're made by Mattel. So, you know, Trixie Mattel sure is sweating it right now because it's just like she's being replaced by a whole group of gender neutral dolls.
But they're called Creatable World.
Yeah, they're not called like a traditional Barbie doll because that's Barbie is a specific kind of thing. But yeah, and kids seem to really love it. And they're showing little boys playing with it. And they're like, I like it because it's a boy and it can be whatever I want it to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's because the My Buddy dolls that Ari Gold, the pop singer. I wanted one of those
so bad.
My buddy, wherever he goes, I go.
And that was kind of designed for kids with special needs, I think, a little bit or something, wasn't it?
Initially it was, and it bombed in that market, so they repurposed the dolls for boys.
Yeah, and the theme song is, do you guys know the musician Ari Gold?
I don't think so.
He's a queer musician. Oh. He's been around for quite a while, and he's worked with RuPaul on some things and whatnot. But he sang that song as a little kid.
And we had him on the show.
He does.
And we found out like minutes before we started taping. I'm like, oh my God, Ari Gold's the guy who's, you know, as a little boy sang the My Buddy doll song. And so I was like, oh my God, I love that song. And he was like so embarrassed.
Yeah, he did not want people to know.
And I think, you know, with the Creatable World gender nonconforming dolls by Mattel, I'm wanting to see right wing conservatives' heads explode because this is a huge toy making corporation who is mainstreaming gender nonconformity and gender non-binary to the market they fear the most, children.
Well, I think though it's really just amazing because they announced this late last night. I think it was when they put it out because they were launching it on September 25th, but it just so happened to be the same day that Nancy Pelosi is just like impeachment inquiry. So we'll see. So I think that they probably had this planned well ahead of time, and it was a happy coincidence because that's really dominating the news cycle right now. So I think that there's definitely going to be some backlash, but I think that the conservative world is just so stunned that President Trump may be impeached.
They got bigger peaches to
be right. There's a song, I'm a non-binary doll in a binary world. Even though I'm plastic, I'm fantastic. You can brush my hair. Please use the pronoun there. Life is your creation. I believe that children are the future. Give them non-binary dolls to play with. Show them all the accessories they can buy. You know, because now you have to buy twice as many costumes and stuff as the doll. Yeah.
Boy clothes and girl clothes.
They found a way to profit off of non-binary, which is the best way to get the message out. I'm so mad I didn't
think
out.
Of this first.
Yeah.
I am just...
Well, you're not a huge corporate. I'm sure there's some kind of non-binary doll out there already. It's just that there's you're not a big corporation.
Well, I like to, besides the gender identity, it's the skin tones. They've finally figured out more than two skin tones to have, which is refreshing.
I wonder, the kids are like, I want to, if you're a black kid, you're like, I still want a white doll.
They've done studies on that.
Yeah, that's so sad.
It is sad.
I don't know. Let the kids play with whatever they want to play with.
Because the studies were finding that the young black children were conditioned to want the fair-skinned dolls more, but... I think that's slowly changing, but
and you want your chocolate Jesus?
I love chocolate Jesus. I mean, Jesus was black.
So do you feel
I mean, he was more chocolate.
I don't know about kids, especially young children's racial preconceptions, but I would imagine that it's pretty neutral, isn't it? At this point, lives.
I think so. Oh yeah, because you have to be taught to be racist. You're not
depends
racist.
On their environment, I'm sure.
Sure, and they're like, and the dolls come with wigs.
Yeah,
so you can get the African American, the black dolls, braided hair, and put it on the white one, and
that's appropriation.
And appropriate it.
They got to learn appropriation somewhere.
They're like, look, mommy, I'm canceling my doll.
She's not going to work. They're not going to work in Hollywood anymore.
Yeah. She.
They, well, that's like. They. Well, some of them go by the she pronoun, and some of them go by he or they or z or zan. You know, that kind of thing. It's open. It's these kids having the ability to take this doll and make this doll what they want this doll to be. And mm-hmm. I think that's super important.
But all the dolls' eyes look very feminine, you know, and it's like, and I guess it would have been nice if they had a doll that, you know.
Angry eyes?
Well, it just it looked, you know, like more like G.I. Joe, but in a dress. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know, like you, with blue fingernails and you, I mean, you're like Sasquatch in drag, you know, you're a hairy lady.
The hair is recent. I used to shave
everything?
My chest and my arms and everything.
Oh, wow.
And the more bearded drag queens kept coming out, I can't grow a good beard.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I have good George Michael stubble, but like not a good beard. So I figured I could be hairy everywhere else because I love my chest hair.
Mm.
Do you see yourself buying these toys for the kids in your lives or yourselves to play with? Like Earring Magic Ken to this day is the best selling Ken doll. Barbie doll ever.
I do have a niece that's going to be doll buying age soon. I love the subversive gifts for nieces and nephews. You know, like when I would buy them children's books, I have two nephews that are older, but when they were first born, I would search out for children's books that weren't about little white boys. Mm. You know, I'd look for like books that didn't identify gender or books that were about women doing things for once.
I really like the My Little Golden Subverting Capitalism for Children book. Is
available women and children first.
Some people are arguing that a lot of these Barbie and Ken dolls already gender neutral because when you take their clothes off, it's not like they have any genitalia.
You just gotta chisel off that underwear. That's all you gotta do. Chisel it off.
Mm. Yeah. So I think it's great. I definitely looking forward to seeing how like Fox News would be like, because it's just a toy, you know. And it's just
I can't wait to see that. They're gonna. Yeah.
A million moms will boycott it. Mm.
Have you guys been following the impeachment? Which it's interesting. Like hearing our friends on social media, they're a little bit exhausted by it. I'm like, this is day one and you're tired about this?
Yeah.
It just goes to show how much right-wing propaganda affects us, even if we don't consume it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it's just been such a battle. His entire presidency has been a battle. And I think we all know that it's just going to get so much worse. And I think that's the hard part.
Trump called Nancy Pelosi after she did her video. And he's like, can we work something out? And she was like, hell no, bitch. Follow the law. And hung up the phone.
I mean, I think she was waiting for something that's easy to explain because she knew he was going to do something like this sooner or later. So I think that's why she's pouncing now.
Well, I mean, the Democrats had a sincere, you know, a serious concern that pursuing impeachment would hand the next election to Trump.
Yeah.
And Trump has bragged and announced that they're going to cheat and lie and steal their way into this next election. And if they lose, they will definitely say it's an illegitimate election that the Russians helped the Democrats win this time.
I mean, he's very good at being a victim. And I think that's a real concern. I think that's a very big concern.
We just have to remember.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say one thing that comforts me is to remember that he lost the popular vote. Which means there are more people out there that dislike him as vocal as it's the vocal minority or his followers, you know, and like we have the numbers. We can't forget that we always had the numbers, you know, so if we can remember that
we're the majority.
Yeah.
They just got to move.
Yeah. We just got to get
move
off
from
our
California.
I don't like how Trump has sort of made Twitter into the de facto statement for all politicians.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big fan of Twitter. You know, I think it's kind of garbage.
It's not very dignified.
And so Hillary Clinton, she today posted on her Twitter account, "The president of the United States has betrayed our country. That's not a political statement. It's a harsh reality, and we must act in support of impeachment. He is a clear and present danger to the things that keep us strong and free. I support impeachment."
Yay.
That is not vague language.
No.
That's and to having, you know, I mean, his former political opponent making that kind of statement we are in definitely intense waters.
Well, he's got talking points out there, and he accidentally emailed them to the Democrats. Like, these are our talking points about it, and this is a myth, this is a myth, and this is a myth, and we're just kind of like, okay, bullshit, pull it together. Well, I think he might, you know, I wonder what's going to happen. We'll see, because if he knows it's really going to go down, then he just might be like, try and make some kind of deal with Pence and you know,
Resign.
But we'll see what happens.
I don't know if his ego would let him. You know, he's so crazy.
Well, I think the idea of maybe going to jail or something like that might be fearful of enough that he might just resign and just, you know, skip the country and go live in a palace in Russia somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, play golf all day. Russia, where
some
the
parts
better.
Of Russia are fabulous. Yeah. You know, it's like, remember the Sochi Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, they said a lot of that place is a dump.
Yeah, but, some parts of the place are dump, but, you know, those oligarchs have nice... You could go, like, on YouTube and watch, like, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Russians, you know, and you could watch, like, some of them live really, really, really well and comfortably. So, you know, I want him in behind bars. I don't want him sitting in a jacuzzi with, you know, strippers and hookers and cocaine and Sochi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And pee tapes.
Elizabeth Warren recently just passed Joe Biden as the front runner of the Democrat in a new poll today.
That's exciting.
So yay. She is 27% of Democrats.
Hooray.
That's right. As supporter, whereas 25% support Joe Biden.
That's amazing.
Ooh, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, like, what about in Iowa? Because, you know, it's the first few states where people really go to that really indicate what's going to happen. So they can really sway a lot of the country. So we'll see what happens. MSNBC also had, like, some kind of polls and had something like, these are the front runners. And guess who wasn't pictured there?
Me,
Bernie Sanders.
Did they put Pete Buttigieg in there?
Oh yeah, of course they put them all. Puts everybody in there.
He's
except
not
for Bernie.
Even. He's I like mean, do you
guys,
nothing.
He's do not you guys a serious think
that's,
contender.
That's a real poll. I mean, do you guys believe that?
What?
That Bernie's not even in the top at all?
Well, they just showed pictures. Of course,
they're any excluding kind of poll,
they're excluding
numbers.
Him in the photo because it's like there's definitely a real bias against him.
Yeah.
In the media, people really
for sure
don't want his program because I think that they think people, you know, really support the universal health care, you know, freedom from student debt, all those kinds of programs.
If you've ever criticized Bernie Sanders online and been chastised by his supporters, mm-hmm. it's interesting.
How, it's real.
Yeah. They, I didn't
use I'd like to anybody who is not in support, who please come and look at me and talk to me. I would love to meet you. Mm-hmm. And do you personally know and run into these people?
The yeah. Bernie
yourselves.
Bros?
Yeah.
Because I consider myself a Bernie bro.
Mm-hmm. You're not and a most bro.
Foster's mother is a Bernie bro.
My mother is a Bernie bro. And a lot of people of color that I know, and I've had Stacey Anchin sitting here and be like, Bernie bros. And I'm like, I'd like to see them. I don't see that.
The Bernie or bust people. Like, I was all
like
for
Lady
Bernie.
Lady Bunny, you mean?
I was all for Bernie the first time around.
Sure.
Until
okay.
he lost the nomination. And then I moved on with life.
Okay.
And went with the next... You know, the political candidate. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's frustrating is the
say
people
her name, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, no, I was all for Hillary. I was with her. What was frustrating were all the people that were refusing to vote because he wasn't the candidate.
I think it was a very, very small portion of the people. There was just a lot of people that sat out the election.
Was that's it Russian sure. bots?
There was a lot
that
of
made
it was
us
Russian,
think there totally. Are more Bernie bros than there are.
Well, there's absolutely. a lot of things at play here, right? So there was also... You know, politics is a dirty game to some degree, and we can clean it up by encouraging people who are uncorruptible, who have a history of being dedicated to the causes that they speak for.
Right.
And certainly I would say Bernie Sanders is one of those candidates. And certainly Hillary Clinton was manipulative, as well as outside interference from Russia, as well as corporate interference from within the United States. As well as corporate interference from outside the United States and the Republican Party. On top of that, the Trump campaign. So you had all these forces misinforming us and trying to get us to argue against each other and creating this idea that there's this bullying force that is going to in mass attack you because you're not in support of Bernie Sanders as a candidate. And I think I, you know, Mark and I, we certainly combed the internet looking for the fight so we can talk about it. And certainly, for example, the schism between RuPaul and Billy Porter that's sort of represented in house and club culture or ballroom culture and club culture in New York City is a real and long lasting schism that exists inside, you know, performers of color in New York City. I don't see that schism really inside the Democratic Party as big. And if you think about it, like the people who are so who are diehard vapors, for example, Trump is about to, you know, pass some type of legislation limiting vaping. That's the number of people that are in support that made the difference in these little swing states that got Trump elected. So I don't see that really that there's much of a schism between different people who are enthusiastic for their chosen political campaign. And really, like, what I feel like the biggest concern here is not whether Bernie Sanders or Warren makes it to the top, is that Joe Biden, who I feel is really unqualified to be a Democratic candidate.
And I don't think he's unqualified. I just think he's not great. Like, yeah, I don't think he's a great candidate.
Isn't it the same thing?
I just wish he had...
What's the difference?
I wish he was more exciting. I wish...
You could be qualified, but still not good.
Right. Well, I mean, he could probably, you know, he could do a functional job as president, but he doesn't support what I want or need.
And
I want universal health care. He is not in support of that. I think health care is a right for every human being in this country, and I think we should have it.
I mean,
and
I think he believes that. Much. It's just his method of getting there is a lot different. And I think it's not going to cover everybody.
Support Medicare for
it's
all.
Not going
to
cover
I'm
everybody.
I'm also ready to hand the reins of control to someone who's not a straight white male.
Because you're feeling like that their experience outside of that, out of who they physically are, is going to bring in a different approach.
Yeah, I'm ready. The future's female. You know, let's bring it on.
So if Bernie Sanders was gender non-binary, you'd support him?
No. Although I do appreciate how far he's pulled far to the left. Sure. I really appreciate that he's brought about these talking points that weren't brought up years ago, mm-hmm. because everything has been pulled so far to the right that we've got to have someone who's so viciously liberal to.
I want to, you know, I hate the fact that we're considering, you know, universal health care, nationalized health care,
right,
in this country as something viciously liberal.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you know? You've got to be like,
and that's like a reality for Canada, who's, you know, despite Canada being our neighbor, in some ways, Canada politically is very conservative too, mm-hmm. but they provide all their citizens with access to health care.
I mean, can I play devil's advocate? Yeah. And I'm not even saying I'm believing what I'm going to say. I just want to kind of present the other side. Is the other countries in the world don't have the insane military budget that we have.
Oh, like, of course.
It's just off the rails.
Yeah.
So to deal with universal health care, you would have to deal with the military industrial complex, which is a whole situation. So the amount of time and energy that would be required to do that would be so vast, mm-hmm. whereas some people think it's better to kind of nurture the existing system, expand it, create a public option, go from there and dismantle it that way, and eventually get to universal health care.
Well, you could do it, but it also, I guess, you know, they also say that you could pay for, like, the race in the student debt by just taking back some of those tax cuts that the billionaires got, that the 1%
have. Hey. Let's do it. You don't even have to touch the military budget one little bit, as long as we go back to charging the same taxes that people paid in 1965.
Under Kennedy, was it like, no, was it in the 90s or was it in the
70s?
You don't
even, you could get, if people just paid, the rich in this country paid the same taxes they were paying just 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. we would have enough money not only to give people, everybody health care in this country, but also to give them a 4-year college. And to me, it's like, that's something I'm really willing to fight for, and I want to see this in my lifetime. I think Elizabeth Warren is somebody who can bring that.
I think
Bernie Sanders can bring it too. I think Bernie Sanders is my front runner candidate, but I'd be very thrilled to campaign for Warren. Now, this is what I want to just impress upon everybody that's listening to this, and you guys, because you guys are actually out in the field and meeting a lot of people. regardless of who gets the Democratic ticket, but it's probably going to be either Bernie or Warren.
Yeah.
You all need to go volunteer to knock on doors and get people to vote.
Oh, yeah. And get registered to vote. Mm-hmm.
And international, what is it? National Voting Day was yesterday. But please, now is the time to get registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to require all of us to, you know, take a couple days off of work and go to Wisconsin or go to Pittsburgh. Mark?
Or you can phone bank, too, for your local congressman. I phone banked at Jen Schakowsky's office during Hillary Clinton's situation. And it was interesting because in the final days, they were sending people to, like, suburbs around Illinois. We only had one group going to Wisconsin. And that's how in the dark they were about what was going on. We had sent, like, 15 groups around Illinois, and then, like, just one was heading to Milwaukee.
Well, we know what the battleground states are now. No excuses. What are those states, folks?
Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Did I miss one? Ohio? Is Ohio?
Ohio. If you aren't campaigning, whoever you are, with a D, you're going to get the D. Mm-hmm. Not in a good way.
Ooh. I made a joke about Republicans.
I got excited. Sorry.
At Campit. Yeah. And some people were like, are you sure that's going to be okay? There's gay Republicans in Michigan. And I'm like, well, fuck them, you know? Like,
yeah. Fuck them all.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, you know, in performing in these campgrounds, you are meeting, you know, queer people at a very interesting space.
And rural gay people.
And rural gay people. And, you know, and to me, I'm almost just like, what do you say to them, the Trump supporters, the Republicans that are still, despite everything that's happened, they're still
hanging met any Trump supporters in any of these campgrounds. I mean, the rural gay people.
We have listeners who are trans and right now listening to the show who are trans Trump supporters.
What are they getting out of it? Is it worth it?
Sure.
Like, are they getting, an extra $2,000 on their taxes or something? Like, is that
the price? I think in my experience, Trump supporters
now.
Trump supporters are less ideological and they're more personality driven. I think they're drawn to him for his personality.
You think
because a lot of his traits, at least the people I know that support Trump, they're kind of similar to him in some ways.
Like racist windbags?
No, not even the racism. It's just
their arrogance.
The amount of arrogance, the amount of just
pettiness. They want to humiliate people. They want to punish people.
Or just
people.
Like a complete disregard for any kind of norms.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like the trend I see in my friends are just, they just don't like norms. They don't like to follow any kind of societal norm and they don't care. They just don't care.
Do you ever like have sex with someone and then you've discovered that they're, you know, not only just politically opposed to you, but they're like they're a Trump supporter, and you're just like spitting their cum out of your mouth even faster.
It's a deal breaker. I call it a boner shrinker.
Boner shrinker.
Well, and I think sometimes, you know, a little love goes a long way, and having, you know, sex in the campgrounds is a good way to do that.
Breaks the ice.
It breaks the ice, and it helps to heal the divide. You know what pulls us together sometimes is our collective horniness. And I think, you know, like actually a song. Well, Manny, you have like a collection of
songs. I got the song for you.
Bring it.
Speaking of collective horniness.
This is like a medley.
This is a medley. And I think it's designed for you, the audience, to picture yourself as the protagonist. So as you're listening to this song, I want you to picture yourself in these situations as they're happening and experience it that way. And that's all I'm going to say. Of me there was one of them, there were six. They came in with their horse sticks. Three were black and three were white. This is what I call a fight, gang bang. They popped me down, gang bang. On the ground, gang bang. Gagged and bound, gang bang. My booty they did pound. Cock in my butt and I'm in pain. Please get my ass a Band-Aid. Stroking my taint with his fingers. Licking my nips with his tongue. Feeling me softly with his schlong. Feeling me softly with his schlong. Filling my hole
with his words, filling me with his dawn. Thank you for pounding my end, going up my dirt road and back again. Your talk is true, you're a top and you're confident. If we threw an orgy, invited everyone we screw, you would see the biggest one would be for me, and to the guy attached I'd say, thank you for pounding my end. Then he sat on my face, now I'm a butt eater. I found my place in that juicy behind. I'm in lust, I'm a butt eater. Don't show me wiener or I'll cry. Here in the bathroom, I'm not alone. Now that you've walked through the door, drinking a gallon of H2O, your little bladder so full. We chatted together about water sports, and now you're here by my side. So now I kneel for you with an open mouth. Please don't be shy, feed me that spray. So here I am with an open mouth, hoping you'll pee in front of me, open mouth. His piss, unstoppable. His piss, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Whoa, and I would do anything for love. I would do anything for love, but I won't do scat. No, I won't do all the dingleberries, all the dingleberries, all the dingleberries, all the dingleberries. Oh, 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 oh. If you liked it, well, you should have put some soap in it. If you liked it, well, you should have been douching it. Oh, 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 oh. Glory hole, I don't want your number. Don't even want your email. Don't care if you're a female. Don't wanna know who you are. I don't want you in my bed. I just wanted some good head. Go to the glory hole. Glory hole, glory hole. Oh, oh, glory hole, glory hole. Oh, oh, glory, oh, glory, oh, glory, oh, my pubes will grow back tomorrow.
Yes,
yes.
Play queen. You know, I don't hear people saying that anymore. Yes, or no, slay queen.
That was last year.
I turned to some young people where I was watching a show, and I was like, do you guys mind not doing that anymore? And they're like, it was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment. Like, shut up, Fausto. Fuck you. But they didn't do it anymore.
Don't oppress me.
Yes. So now I have to do it. It's before fun, like groovy, baby. It's hot. It's
I don't know how to roll my eyes on a microphone.
Slay queen. You are fierce, fabulous. Who you are is good enough, baby.
I was clacking fans before it was cool.
Oh, you yeah, were? You were.
Yeah, because I get those dollar fans at the wig shop.
Mm. Oh, there we go. There we go.
Let's see. That's okay, clap. That's me doing it. Let's see Valerie Dolls slap it. Oh, she's a, she didn't even have to look. No, she does it in her sleep.
A fan gave me she a goes, fan.
You're like this. You're sleeping and you're like, stupid fucking bitch. Mike, take away clack, from clack, me. Clack.
Those fans come in handy though when you're hot in the club and you're just like, it's hot in here.
Yeah, yeah. That's
especially when you have a wig, right?
Oh my god, drag is not a summer sport.
I feel like I saw you on Halloween and I was hot and you gave me your fan. Mm-hmm. I was just like, shh, this is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's when we played at the store.
Yeah,
the store. Yeah,
that was fun. That was a fun gig.
That was a fun gig.
You're doing a Tori Amos tribute night.
Tony Amos.
Tony Amos. Who's that?
Tori Amos.
It's her less known brother.
You've been doing the Tori Amos tribute night for how many years?
This will be our eighth annual tribute night. And it's a benefit for RAIN, which is Tori Amos' charity. And it's the Rape, Abuse, Incest
National Network.
Wow.
And it started in the 90s. And it's to help, of course, victims of
sexual abuse
and
you don't have to be a fan of Tori Amos's music to
you don't have to be a fan of Tori Amos's music to donate. Mm-hmm. There's all different Chicago artists mm-hmm. that are part of it, and it's going to be a long show, a great show, a wonderful show. It's at Martyrs in Chicago mm-hmm. on November 7th.
I went to your last one. I've gone to a couple of them now, and somebody's like, oh, you're a big Tori Amos fan. I'm like, no, I've heard her music. I'm just like, I don't really know her music, and that's why I came.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like see what it's like.
And you
see
can still enjoy it.
And you see different interpretations of her music.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Like, I know people that aren't big fans mm-hmm. of her, but they do mm-hmm. come to the show because they mm-hmm. like people's interpretations.
And people that are fans of Tori Amos, they're fans.
Yes.
They love her.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We know these days.
Yeah.
She lives in England. She mm-hmm. lives in Cornwall. She tours constantly, though.
I know this one guy who obsessively collects parrots and birds on an Instagram account. And he, like, his other... So he has two hobbies. it's collecting birds and playing Tori Amos songs on his keyboard, and he's really good at it.
Yeah,
wow.
Too bad he doesn't live in Chicago, because he would be.
Oh,
great
we would
for
love
him.
To have him.
Yeah,
because you're listening and you're ever here.
He performs with the bird on his shoulder, like, and he's playing. So nice. He's like a gay pirate.
Yeah,
that would be a great addition to the show. So if you're listening, Mr. Pirate.
Yeah.
Please.
Drag Queen Story Hour, Valerie Dolls, you read to the children.
I do. I love it. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. My dad, growing up, would volunteer to read at my elementary school at lunchtime.
Okay.
And
was it the Bible?
No. He read, well, we were read to constantly growing up.
Was it the Bible?
No. Thank God. We got enough of that in church. We were always read to, and I read stories that he read to us as kids, and it's really good, like warm feelings, you know.
What was the book that like you really hung on to as a kid?
There's a book called Mole and Troll.
Okay.
And it's about a mole and a troll and their friends.
Aww.
And what's neat is they're actually not really, I guess they're not specified gender either when I think about it, but, we used to read Mole and Troll. We would read, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. We read a lot of Winnie the Pooh growing up. Mm. That was
good. Where the Wild Things Are was our book.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I love Please Don't Go. I Love You So. We'll Eat You Up. I say that to my husband every day.
Yeah. I love The Little Prince. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a very philosophical book.
It is. Uh-huh.
It's very deep. I don't know if you can read it to children in drag, because it's long, you know.
Yeah. It's a whole situation.
You want to do it under 10 minutes or so.
I try to look for, when I look for a story, I look for a story that's not just about little white boys doing this or that. Mm-hmm. And if I can find something that doesn't specify gender, because I want little girls to be able to identify. But I look for age range about like 6 or 7 years old. Is usually a good age range for the length of story you want to read. But
are the kids nice?
Great, and they're not phased at all.
Or?
The last time I did it, the kids were great, and we had a craft time afterwards. And one of the girls she looked like she was probably one of the cool girls at school in the like first grade or whatever. But she's like, "Are you wearing a wig?" And I said, "Yes, it's very hot." And she just nodded and went back to coloring. Like, they don't care.
Do they ask you, like, are you a boy or a girl and stuff like that?
No, but at my day job...
Do they know you're
job,
a drag queen or what?
They know I'm a drag queen, whereas at my day job, I have long hair and earrings, and a lot of times my nails are still painted. And I that's when I get the little kids who ask, is that a boy or a girl? And then, why does that boy have earrings? And I say, well, because they're fun, you know? But I didn't get them until I was in high school, so you gotta wait.
Mm.
Why do pirates wear earrings?
Anything pierced in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do pirates wear earrings?
You can carry your gold around on you.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't lose it.
You don't lose your gold. No.
I heard that Muffy Fish Basket, she organizes the drag queens.
She's the official Chicago chapter leader of drag queens.
And she's not able to read the book, so she has to memorize
them.
It's
her little cross to bear. We sound out the books, you know. Sometimes the kids are helpful.
She teaches children. She is she's a professional school teacher.
She's like Judi Dench of school teachers. You know? Judi Dench doesn't know how to read, I guess. Or
she knows dyslexic? How to read. She has bad vision now, so it's hard for her to read. So she has to. Oh. She works with somebody. Dame and she memorizes her lines.
That is a luxury, you know. Yeah. I like. are you guys vaping people? You're not going to be.
I mean, we're ex-smokers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because right now, Massachusetts just banned all vaping products.
Wow. Which, that's so.
And even Trump bizarre. Is willing to, like, go on. I don't know if Trump's actually going to do this or not, because he's a big liar and a big phony. But currently, the Republicans are looking into banning vaping products. And I'm just like. Which lobby is affecting them? Like, what's the tying with vaping and the alcohol and tobacco and marijuana lobbies? Like, how do they all intersect with each other? Because I know somebody's pulling the strings there.
It probably gets down to guns somehow. That's my conspiracy theory. It's all guns.
It's all guns.
Well, and Michelle William, the abused sister of Destiny's Child, is
you know they're not sisters, right?
Well, I mean, you know. The like soul
sister
soulmates.
It's Destiny's Child is the name of the group. Yes.
She's not Beyonce's sister.
No.
Solange.
Who's Destiny?
It's Beyonce's Destiny. Not. But anyways, Michelle Williams, who's famous for singing with Beyonce in Destiny's Child. There's a whole meme on the internet where she's like the abused
she's
one.
She's constantly
in the group.
Dissed. Like there's like the time that she was left out of the photo, the time they didn't give her a microphone, the time that she wasn't allowed to touch Beyonce. I shared a GIF on our community page on Feast of Fun on Facebook, and you can check out all those photos. They're hysterical. Poor Michelle. She just always gets the short end of the stick.
Aww.
And right she's now, so Michelle William is getting bullied on Twitter because Michelle Williams, the singer, the Destiny's Child one, is not Michelle Williams, the actress from Dawson's Creek. Mm-hmm. And she recently, the actress, won an award and talked about gender equality and pay and salaries. And all these right wingers and Trumpers are like attacking Michelle Williams, the singer, drive her up the wall.
Are you talking Michelle, who won for Fosse?
Yes.
She played Gwen Vernon. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, the mother of Heath Ledger's child. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Let me just play you Michelle Williams' rant. It is hysterically funny.
Okay.
Let's get one thing clear. How come when y'all are tagging and congratulating a person, do y'all see that I'm black? When you go to my profile or tag, like when you search for the Michelle Williams, I am black, okay? I ain't mixed with Dutton. I ain't mixed with Persian, Russian. I am black. So I'm trying to figure out why in the world am I getting cursed out in my comments for Michelle Williams' speech, which I thought was her truth. I thought it was awesome. I thought she was factual. I could be wrong. But yo, I just told this woman a few minutes ago on my Instagram, I was like, I'm so sorry that my namesake upset you. But can't you see that I'm black?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Maybe I'm sorry, I don't see color.
Especially on social media. Maybe this will lead to a collaboration between the two of them.
That'd be great.
Ooh, I like that.
They could do a public service announcement on telling the difference between a black woman and a white woman. When you're mad about equality.
How to get your facts right when you're a racist bigot.
Oh boy, internet sure can be dumb sometimes. But it's great because it actually brings us together. It makes shows like this possible.
Does it?
It does.
Does it bring us together?
It's bringing us together.
Oh, that's true. But I meant Twitter.
We can come together.
I would have no idea who Manny Capozzi is if it wasn't for this podcast
or the internet. Oh, yes. This podcast, for sure. I was talking about Twitter.
And we are part of the internet. I am the internet. You are the internet.
We're like the armpit of the internet.
What was that
all
song?
Smelly and yummy. Oh.
That was Leslie Hall.
Leslie Hall fighting for net neutrality, and it was a bunch of other people from
early viral stars
from beforehand.
I am the internet.
You are
the internet, and I can prove it.
Leslie Hall, Leslie and the LYs?
Yes.
Oh,
Leslie
yeah.
Leslie and the Lees.
Yes.
Thank you, Mama, for making me gold pants. Now I can dance. And make romance, yeah.
She's her song, Gem Sweaters.
Yeah. Mm.
Gem Sweaters.
She was one of our first celebrity interviews of this podcast. And we were the first interview she ever did with anybody.
Wow.
Wow.
And I thought at the time, I was like, I can't believe the whole world isn't interviewing
you. Yeah, I thought she was going to blow up and be the biggest star ever. And then it's, you know, she just always has kind of stayed the same level of fame.
Well, kind of like us, you know. Yeah, we're artisanal celebrities.
Artisanal celebrities.
It's part Home of it grown. Is microbreweries, you know. It's like we're micro celebrities. We are very passionate about what we do, and our audience and our friends are connected with us, and we're able to celebrate the journey of an artist, to celebrate the ridiculous, the outrageous, the queer in the world. And that's what Feast of Fun is all about. And that's what Manny Petty and Valerie Dolls swallow it. you're on it.
You're right just now. One scandal away from world fame.
That's all you guys need. You guys just need a good scandal.
I have plenty of scandals.
Yeah. What kind of scandal should I have?
Like a sex tape? No, not a sex tape. Like a... I don't know, a text tape.
A sex tape is like everybody's just like making their only for fans now or something, you know?
Yeah. They're getting, people are like, oh, they want to send me to send them videos of myself masturbating. I'm like, honey, you're going to see that when you pay for it. And it's not going to be $14 a month, like Patreon, which, by the way, we're on Patreon. And you can see behind the scenes video of us recording Manny and Valerie.
We're all nude.
Yeah,
let's do a nude
surrounded
podcast
by harmonicas.
We could do a nude podcast.
Let's do it.
Why don't you guys come gay camping with us and then record a podcast?
Where are you going to be, in Wisconsin?
No, this time we're going to be in Nashville next week.
Yeah,
I'll see if I can get the time off from work.
They'll never know.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because we wouldn't be able to talk to these fabulous folks if it weren't for your support.
And we are on Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun. And of course, YouTube, youtube.com/feastoffun. Anywhere the internet is fun, we're there at Feast of Fun. And Manny Petty, people can follow you.
Manny Petty Music on Instagram and Manny Petty Music on Facebook. Very easy.
And I'm Valerie Dolls on the Facebooks and the Instagrams. That's V-A-L-L-E-R-Y. D-O-L-L-S.
Hmm. Why did you choose the different spelling as
more of a nod to Valley of the Dolls?
Okay.
Yeah. And I like double letters, you know, two L's in Valerie, two L's in Dolls.
Okay. Oh.
Like two L's in, or two N's in Manny, two T's in Petty.
There
you go.
You guys want to play us out?
We got a good one for you.
Our most special cover.
It's a little mashup.
Yeah, it's a mashup. It's
that's a song pretty much every drag queen likes to sing, which is crazy. Creep.
Creep. Yeah, everyone has a creep.
Radiohead's Creep.
But mine's the best.
That's right.
All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for
having
us.
So much.
And thanks
pleasure.
To everybody for listening.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love. Oh, I wanna tell you how much I love you. Do you remember when we met? That's the day I never will forget. Oh, I wanna tell you how much I love you. 'Cause I'm a creep, I'm a weirdo. the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. You know your skin makes me cry. You know you float like a feather in your beautiful world. But you're so fucking special. I wish I was special. Do you remember when we met? That's the day I never will forget. Oh, I wanna tell you how much I love you. I don't care if it hurts. You know I wanna have control. I want a perfect body. You know I want a perfect soul. You know I want you to notice. Oh, when I'm not around, but you're so fucking special. Well, I wish I was special. Come with me to the sea. Whoa, I wanna tell you how much I love you, but I don't belong here.